Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living grid locked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies and bricks.
And a happy Monday to you, wherever you may be. It's Owen. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. It is Monday, like I said. It's May 4th on the eve of Cinco de Mayo. I'm going to do a podcast like we haven't done before. I'm just going to talk here, and we're going to see how it goes. I got a couple of things that I want to get to, a couple of items that are in the news that I'm super interested in, and mostly just one item that I kind of wanted to spend some time on right off the bat. And I don't do a lot of hot golf takes on the Fansmanship podcast, but I know that we do have a lot of fun golf to be played in San Luis Obispo County. Maybe people who listen are golfers, and even if you're not, I think it's an important thing that I'm going to talk about today. And there was something that happened on the PGA Tour. I'm just going to get right to it. There was a reporter. Her name is Stephanie Way. She is a former college golfer. She's one of the younger reporters on tour. She has her own blog, so she's definitely like not a kind of a traditional media person. She has her blog. I think it's called Way Under Par. I'm assuming it's pronounced Way because it's W-E-I, and I would assume that Way Under Par instead of Way or Y Under Par, I don't think that would work. So anyway, Way Under Par is her blog. She has been on the tour, and she's described as maybe hustling as much as any other reporter out there trying to provide good golf content, of which I'd imagine there might not be a ton, even on the professional tour, on the PGA Tour. She got in trouble for using Periscope, which is a live video streaming service. She got in trouble for periscoping the practice round for Jordan Spieth recently at a PGA Tour event. And so the PGA Tour and its chief marketing officer, whose name is Ty, I think it's Vota, V-O-T-A-W, Ty Vota, went ahead and revoked her PGA Tour media credential for the remainder of the tour season. Now, it is kind of right in the midst of the tour season, kind of as the thing ramps up in May. The PGA Tour goes all around for most of the summer months, and then, of course, kind of quiets down in the winter when a lot of the courses are under snow, especially in the Midwest and the northern part of the country, I guess. But Vota and the PGA Tour went ahead and revoked her credential for live streaming some practice round action. And to her point, a fan could go to the event and live stream on the same app that she was using on Periscope. And to her point, this is the kind of stuff that fans want to see. And I don't disagree with her wholeheartedly. I think if you're in the media and you're a person who monetizes these things on some level, then you have to be more careful, right? And so I don't think it's all bad, or I don't think the PGA Tour was outside of their right when they revoked her credential. And I think they kind of have to do what they do because they're survival counts on television contracts that are exclusive with CBS or Golf Channel or whoever. And so so this is just kind of a bummer. It's kind of a loss for everybody because for fans of the PGA Tour, and I'm not a huge fan of the PGA Tour, but I am a fan of some things. I'm a guy who gets to a baseball game early to watch batting practice. When I went to spring training, I got to parks at, 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. for a 1 o'clock game so I could go out on the backfields for a few hours and watch ground balls being taken. I'm just that kind of a fan. I'm that kind of a guy. And there are lots of fans out there of different sports, including golf, who want to see that kind of stuff, who want to see what a practice round looks like. And for Way, really her crime is that she went and provided that content to the fans. And she's being punished for it, which is really a shame. I don't think it could have gone any other way in terms of what the PGA Tour had to do, except this. And here's where I'm going to depart from both of their viewpoints for a second. Maybe not so much from Way's, but definitely from Vota's, because Vota is basically saying she's stealing from the tour when she does this. And that's actually true, Ty, but she's also out hustling the tour. And if the tour is really into making money from the rights to whatever it does, then it needs to figure out a way to monetize it in a similar way that Way was. There are other sports that do a really good job of this. The NFL does a great job of monetizing pregame and practice and the draft and all the off-season stuff, right? Because there are people who are interested in it. And you can't tell me that not enough people are interested in the PGA Tour or in golf to monetize new media in some way. And maybe there's just no young golf fans, and that's a whole other issue, right? So young people use social media more, young people use new media more, and maybe the fact is that there's nobody who's a golf fan who uses Periscope. But if there were enough for Stephanie Way to use it and have people who are interested, then I would imagine there would be enough people for the tour to do the same thing. And I think what really bugs me about the whole story here, the fact that a reporter has to out-hustle the tour itself, and then the tour essentially slams the door shut on the reporter, and Way is now banned from the rest of the – or not banned, but she's not getting credentialed to the rest of the tour events – The real shame of it is that the tour is losing out and Way is losing out. The tour is losing out on one of their best promoters in Way, in somebody who's going to reach out to young people and who young people like to follow when it comes to golf. The tour also has egg on its face, I think, because it got out-hustled. And I look at other sports, and I'll use baseball and football as two sports that really do a good job of hustling. Baseball does a great job of getting media of highlights up quickly. And there, you know, I can go back in time. There was one play a couple years ago where like Yasiel Puig got hit in the face by a pitch. And then the next at bat, Andre Ethier hit a home run against the Diamondbacks. And that was kind of a sequence that I wanted to go back and find for a post. And guess what? Major League Baseball allows me to do that because I want to promote the sport on some level when I'm writing about it. That's what I'm doing when I'm writing about a sport. Now I promote it to very few people, definitely not as many as Way does, but Major League Baseball does a good job of highlights and allowing people to embed those highlights and posting those highlights quickly. They're out in front of it and they own all of it. So that when somebody goes to my site and watches an embedded highlight from Major League Baseball, guess what? They watch one of Major League Baseball's commercials first. And Major League Baseball makes some amount of money off of that, which is really cool, I think. I get a chance to, and the fans get a chance to consume that content. And Major League Baseball still makes money. So that's kind of the best case scenario, is that the league actually hustles and they get after it and they're able to make that happen. There's all kinds of all-access stuff that the NFL produces, right? NFL films, we see Hard Knocks that happens in preseason. There's lots of really cool NFL content that gets produced that's behind the scenes and that brings people to the game, right? It's one of the reasons why the NFL is on the pedestal that it's on in this country. Heck, even the NHL with the Winter Classic. When I had HBO and I watched The Road to the Winter Classic, that was like a reason to watch the NHL for a few months, as you could watch these two teams like go through their seasons, and it was kind of an all-access thing. I loved watching that. I love behind the scenes and backstage at hockey games and practices. It was awesome, okay? And you know, the NBA, I think, to some extent, has tried to do some of these things in terms of giving people access to players. They're not quite as good, I don't think, as really any of the other major sports. They kind of lock down their media rights for sure, and still do things pretty traditionally, I would say. But when it comes to those other sports, the NFL, MLB for sure, NHL, there's some level of all access or some level of high level of access for those sports. Those sports differ a little bit from golf. Golf is played on a big, wide field of play, right? There's 18 holes. One person can't cover or consume all of that. But for fans of a specific player, I think going on and seeing video streaming of that player throughout the round would be a pretty cool thing that you could potentially do. And I know at the Masters, they've kind of experimented with different holes and different groups. I think that's a pretty cool thing. I also think that you could do something like NASCAR, right? In NASCAR, there's channels or packages where you can watch a particular driver, okay? You can watch that driver and from that driver's perspective, and you can follow that driver around the track all day. I think that's pretty neat too. And so why can't golf do something similar? Maybe there's not as many people who care about it. I mean, I'm willing to go there. But I'd love to see somebody in the PGA Tour, somebody in that world, try to hustle enough to figure it out, or tell at least tell us that you're asking that question as fans and consumers, instead of kind of circling the wagons. And I know you got to circle the wagons around your television partners. I get that part of it, I guess. But let me know. Say, hey guys, we have looked into doing live streaming. Here's your option for it if you want it as a fan. They're just reacting, and that's that. At least that's the perception that I have from reading the stuff that I've read about it. Is that they're just reacting, and that part of it really is kind of annoying to me as a fan, as a consumer of sports, as a consumer of things. You can't just react. You can't just circle the wagons and do things the old way. Not anymore. Not the way the media looks right now. Not with the landscape that's out there. You have to be out in front of these things. And I just, you know, obviously, you know, if you were going to do a stereotype about golf, it's that it's not really out in front of things, especially since Tiger Woods has become less relevant. The PGA Tour, I'm sure, doesn't have as good ratings. So let's do some things that are creative, guys. Instead of having a lawyer as your chief marketing officer, whose only concern is protecting the contract, probably that he, you know, that he or other lawyers, and I hate to talk bad about lawyers, actually, probably no, I don't, but man, is that all we're concerned about? Are we not concerned about engaging fans? Are we not concerned about, you know, growing the game? Golf's a game that needs to be grown. It's a game that, especially here in California with the drought, people are looking at golf in a whole new way. And, you know, as somebody who does play golf, as somebody who likes to play golf, man, you guys gotta, to the PGA Tour, you guys have to do a little bit better job of hustling, I think. You're a professional sports tour, and I know that the product that you put out there is bigger than maybe the staff that you have sometimes, but I wonder what it would cost in a few events a year to have some live streaming of a hole or some specific live streaming of some players on an online platform that somebody could pay $5 for a tournament and watch. I'm interested to see what that would be like. Maybe you've done the research. Tell me if you have. Tell us if you have. Until then, man, I think golf is missing out on opportunity, and they're coming out of this whole situation not looking good, even if they definitely have the rights to do what they did, and if they definitely, you know, need to be thinking about it. I just don't know that anybody wins from a situation like this. And the bummer for golf is that this isn't the first time that something like this will happen in sports, and other leagues are going to learn from what the PGA did, and they're going to handle it better, I would hope. They're going to get out in front of things. You know, the NCAA has all kinds of other views. Major League Baseball is coming up with channels where you can watch or game streams where you can watch with enhanced statistics that come up for places that have technology in the stadiums. Man, people want to watch things in different ways now with different types of stimulation. And for golf to kind of stick to the same old, maybe is indicative of how much of an old man sport it is. But for those of us who play golf a little bit and who don't want it to just be that old man sport, I think it can be a little bit maddening to watch what's happening. So anyway, that's my take on what's happening with golf. I'll be right back and we'll wrap up some stuff that I saw this weekend here on the fansmanship.com podcast. And we're back again on the Fansmanship podcast. Gosh, I don't know what they're going to do when fans at holes just start making their own Periscope situations and doing things on their own. I don't think you can stop all of it. And I think that was my point, you know, before. I think people are going to have to get out ahead of it. And I hope that leagues and organizations that hold rights to things, I think, you know, college sports is another place. I mean, are you telling me you can't find a couple of interns to start to do something like this? You know, Periscope doesn't have to be perfect. It's not made to be perfect. You're holding a smartphone, right? Man, you gotta be able to find some people to hustle around and do some of this work, especially for practice rounds that aren't even televised, right? People want to see that. If the golfers are cool with it, what's your problem with it? How can you monetize it? If your problem with it is that nobody should have it, then you should be the ones figuring out how to monetize it and making money off of it. That's my thought. Moving away from golf, because Man, I don't know how many golf fans we have that even listen. I wanted to talk a little bit about the spring game that I saw at Cal Poly. You had two of the two starting quarterbacks, and I think eight guys who are prominent starters, at least, not be in the game this past Saturday at Spanos. You had the third and fourth string quarterback, presumably, in Andrew Barna and Kai Ross. And it was interesting to watch those guys run the offense. The offense was definitely pared down, and it generally is in the spring to try to get some of the basics down. And I kind of liked the tone of this spring game. There wasn't a lot at stake, I don't think, at least not on the surface, which is maybe how Tim Walsh wants it. I'm sure there were things at stake on defense. I'm sure there were things at stake on some of the offensive stuff. But I know that it was an opportunity, I guess, to give these coaches a chance to see these two quarterbacks who, if one of them can be a decent backup quarterback next season, and if Tim Walsh can do what he wants to do and redshirt Dano Graves so that Cal Poly can have a senior starter in Chris Brown in 2015, and then another senior starter in Dano in 2016, then that's, you know, going to be ideal for the Cal Poly program and stability to have guys who are seniors who are running the show. But that only can come, I think, he can only be comfortable with that if Barna and Ross are ready to actually be backups, or if one of those guys is actually ready to take the next step. And we'll see if they are. It'll be an interesting story for fall camp. But really, when you have both Brown and Graves, and both of those guys are known commodities, known entities, it's got to put a little bit of a calming effect on the rest of the team. We also were, you know, Cal Poly also is missing Elias Stokes, who's a slot back, who may have a chance to start this upcoming season. They were missing Corey Garcia, who was their leading rusher last year. He was on one of those one-legged scooter things. I don't know, he hurt his leg somehow. Willie Tucker was seems like he has a knee issue too, a wide receiver who should be Cal Poly's main threat next season, you know, in terms of a wideout. Really, you're going to have some offensive weapons next year, and I don't think Walsh is too worried about, you know, an offense that has weapons like Joe Prothrow and Garcia and Alex Sushek, who's going to be a redshirt freshman next season, and not to mention Stokes and Tucker and Hines, Jordan Hines, who kind of stepped up in a number of games last year. McMurtry's played, you know, some serious minutes before too. So it'll be really good to see, you know, all those guys hopefully healthy at the same time, along with the quarterback situation. Whatever it is, I think it'll be a solid thing there at Cal Poly. And I think they expect to compete in the Big Sky. And I think that's a reasonable expectation. Where you're going to see a little bit of, you know, I guess unknown is going to be with the defense. And so you saw a defense that held the offense without a touchdown this past week, although, again, it was with kind of some of the third and fourth string starters in terms of quarterbacks. But you saw a defense that seems like it's a little bit more cohesive than I thought they would be. I figured there would be at least one kind of blown tackle or missed assignment during the day. And while the offense had a few broken plays where they got some yardage, there wasn't really any big plays that happened on the defense. And maybe you can chalk that up to Cal Poly having a couple of new defensive backs who are supposed to be really good. And I think that's another exciting thing if you're a Cal Poly football fan. And so, yeah, check it out. I posted some stuff on the website. If you haven't looked at it already, there's a story. It's kind of my recap of the spring game. And then I also posted a story, and it's the last thing I'm going to talk about today on this one-man podcast, this fansmanship.com one-man show. And that's Burton DeKoning. And I talked to him after the game. I saw Burton on the San Luis Obispo Blues baseball roster for the summer, and so I asked him about what was going on there. And he told me that he's going to try to play baseball this summer so that he can hopefully impress Larry Lee enough to make the baseball team next spring in 2016 at the end of his senior year of college. So I think that would be pretty cool to have a guy who plays two sports. I don't know how good at baseball he is. He played in high school pretty well, and he played on the Cal Poly club team this year. But playing on the Division I team is a little bit different than playing on the club team. And I think the Blues are going to give him a little bit of an opportunity to maybe prove that he belongs on the roster, or maybe kind of show that, hey, he thought he could give it a shot and he may or may not be able to. Either way, I think it's admirable for a kid to play multiple sports. I'm a big fan of high school kids that play more than one sport, and I definitely wish Burton DeKooning the best. I guess he tried to play baseball a little bit at Nevada, but it didn't really work out. He never really got the opportunity. And when he came on his recruiting trip to Cal Poly, the story goes, Tim Walsh and the athletic department set up a meeting with him and Larry Lee as well, so that he could kind of get the lowdown. Of course, last season, as he was in his first year on campus, as he was thinking about coming on campus, Cal Poly was doing really well. They were ranked number one at one point last year. The baseball season's not going quite as well this year, but honestly, baseball's kind of on a razor's edge anyway at this level of college baseball. So, you know, a couple pitching performances here, a couple key hits there, and Cal Poly, who's around 500 right now, could be right back. You know, they could be in a real playoff hunt, and I don't know that they are anymore after this past weekend. They won two out of three games over Cal State Northridge, over CSUN. But I think they needed to sweep Long Beach and CSUN to really put pressure on the other teams in the Big West, and they just weren't able to win three out of three games. Sundays have been hard for them the last couple weeks. Anyway, look for Burton DeKooning on the Blues this summer. The Blues have like 35 or 40 home games, so it should be a good time to go out. Blues games are always fun on warm summer nights at Sinsheimer. And with that, I'm going to sign off and not make you guys listen to just me anymore. Hopefully it was okay. Hopefully you didn't mind it so much. It was about a 20-minute podcast here with Owen. And so for me, I'm going to sign off and let you know before I sign off. I guess I'm not signing off yet. Before I sign off, check me out on Instagram, at Fansmanship, on Twitter, at Fansmanship. I also Periscope, so Stephanie Way, I'm probably going to follow her pretty quickly here. But check out Periscope at Fansmanship as well. I do try to Periscope from some games and just kind of some random stuff. So check that out too. And of course, keep listening to the podcast. You can also subscribe to this podcast along with Hurricane and Scroggs on iTunes or on Stitcher or any kind of feed type podcast listening things. Hopefully you do that. Thanks for the support, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue.